Laudetur Jesus Christus. Praise be Jesus Christ. You're listening to the Abbot Circle podcast, presented by the Norbertine Canons Regular of St. Michael's Abbey.
I have heard the grumbling of the children of Israel. Tell them, in the evening twilight, you shall eat flesh, and in the morning, you shall have your fill of bread. God is so good to us that he is inclined to answer our prayers, even when our prayers amount to little more than grumbling and complaining in our weakness. So we have this ridiculous situation of God's people who had only 2 months before witnessed all the wonders in Egypt, the parting of the Red Sea, and their miraculous liberation from cruel slavery and tyranny. And now, only 2 months later, complaining and longing for the flesh pots of their slavery. They're a good example for us of the rocky ground that our Lord speaks about in his parable in today's gospel. Whenever we pray, however we pray, even if our prayer amounts to little more than grumbling and complaining, longing for the flesh pots of our former slavery, preferring tyranny to the challenges of the freedom of the children of God, even still, the divine sower still sows the seeds of grace within us. Even still, God gives us all we need and more. Saints Joachim and Anne, whom we celebrate today, teach us just how superabundantly God can do still more. I commend to your prayers today, especially our own Father Joachim, our Father Cantor, on his name day. And Saints Joachim and Anne give us a beautiful example of barren soil which bears abundant fruit because of their prayer. God can turn a field that's choked with thorns, or even rocky ground, or even a completely barren path, into fruitful soil. Saints Joachim and Anne were barren for their whole married life. But the Lord God heard their persevering prayers for the coming of the Messiah, and he transformed their barrenness into fruitfulness. And what fruitfulness? Seed ground so rich that the seed bore fruit a thousandfold, or we might say infinitely fold, in the Immaculate Conception of Our Lady. All of us here this morning, you lay folks, of course, but then especially we consecrated religious, and this week in particular, those religious who are charged with the formation of our young people, are the instruments whereby God turns the soil of the people around us into fertile ground. In the case of novice masters and novice mistresses and formation superiors, that soil is the ground of future priests and religious, and he's asking those responsible for their care to turn that soil, to fructify that soil, where God's seed of his word can bear abundant fruit, 30-fold or 60-fold or 100-fold. Sometimes that seed planting that happens in the early years of formation meets with grumbling and resistance on the part of the young people who are undergoing their initial formation. That might not even be exterior grumbling and complaining. It might simply be the hard work of uprooting all of the weeds of the world, or the hard work of turning over the soil into a place where there can be silence and especially interior silence. And our nature resists that, so that even if the young men and women are not kicking against the goad, their nature certainly is. We might ask, what can we do to help the divine seed sower in that marvelous novel of the 19th century of the Russian novelist Dostoevsky, maybe one of the best pieces of literature in Western civilization, The Brothers Karamazov. There's that starets, that elder, Father Zosima, who plays a prominent role in the first half of the book. And he's a mighty struggler, but he's also a holy ascetic and a holy priest and a spiritual father. In a scene where he's exhorting the villagers around him, he says, "The more I love humanity in general, the less I love man in particular. In my dreams, I often make plans for the service of humanity, and perhaps I might actually face crucifixion if it were suddenly necessary. Yet I am incapable of living in the same room with anyone for 2 days together. The more I love humanity in general, the less I love man in particular." We're surrounded in our decadent and collapsing culture with ideologies that are all about a global humanity, environmentalism or the gender affirmation movement or all of these crazy things that don't actually take into consideration individual men and women. We'll sacrifice an individual poor person on the altar of environmentalism, or we'll sacrifice a child in its mother's womb on the altar of sexual excess and liberty. It's really hard to learn to love the people around us, which is the only place where love really matters. Otherwise, it's just a big idea. Our Lady, the immaculate fruit that was the result of the transformation of a barren couple into the rich soil of holiness and surrender to God's will, she will teach us how to love individual men and women, the individual young men and women who come into our communities seeking God's holy will, or the people who live in your home, the person who sits beside you at the dinner table. She teaches us how to see them, not as just some generic novice or junior or confrere or consort or family member, but to see them as the person whom they are, how to see them, how to listen to them, and especially how to love them. So we can ask from this altar of the Lord's sacrifice this morning, where he fulfills his promise to his people for superabundant daily bread, which becomes the flesh of the evening sacrifice for us day after day, day after day. He teaches us right here at this altar what that kind of death looks like so that that kind of love can flourish.
Thank you for joining us on the Abbot Circle podcast. May God bless you.